and they're not corrected for it. Over and over, I hear stories over and over. It's really disgraceful the way they've managed to look good in the eyes of the state. And it's been at the expense of those who are the least able to defend themselves. If you were a sharp, slick welfare frauder, you probably could get away with just buffaloing your way through the kind of system they've set up. But someone that is sincerely maybe lost their business, fallen through the cracks, is not helped. Disabled people are not helped, and senior citizens are not helped. And it's a disgrace the way this county runs its welfare
program.
And we
also know that on Monday there is a meeting with Christopher Crown, the city council member who, I guess, similar to Marty Wormhout, has the day before the council session. He has it at the Cafe Pergolesi, but I'm not sure if it's at 7 or at 5:30. You know that?
I looked at the Sunday paper. I think it must have been in the Friday paper that I saw it. I'm sorry,
If anybody knows, any caller out there can call in and let us know when Christopher Crone's meeting is with folks. Let us know, because Crone, of course, is a council member who conceivably could suddenly find some backbone, sit down and talk seriously with activists about taking at least one of the 7 or 8 proposals we have, which involve decriminalizing sleeping somewhere in the city, or not issuing sleeping tickets when all the shelters are full, any one of these proposals, and bring it forward in clear legal language that has been thought out beforehand, so that that can actually be a rallying point for the community. I mean, we don't think he's going to win necessarily. Catherine Byers is the stumbling block. I don't see that Fitzmaurice is moving very far forward, but he probably would get...
Well, Fitzmaurice's motion was the only motion that actually, for the first time in history, distinguished sleeping as apart from camping and made a distinction. So that beginning of that wedging out of sleeping and covering up from camping, I think it was an important step. It's very symbolic. It only affects a few people that rise to
me. Crone has a meeting, and I, if anybody out there knows when it is, I know it's tomorrow, and I know it's at the Cafe Pergolesi. I think it's either 5:30 or 7. And you say, David, you think it's in the Friday paper. If anybody has the Friday Sentinel, maybe they could look through it and get back to us here at 427-3772.
Yeah, I believe that's where I saw it.
And any other meetings coming up this week, David, that those of us should know about, perhaps we don't?
Well, let's see. Well, I don't know what this is. I'm looking at my calendar, Rob. I really, really can't see. I know, we have the students leaving on the 19th and a public hearing on the 23rd, and I just don't think we should let that go.
Isn't that convenient?
We should not let that pass without comment. Once again, they're doing a homeless statement like they did 2 years ago in March during the spring break. And they did it so for the convenience of the Chamber of Commerce to be able to have its meeting so that it can marshal its forces for that meeting. That was on record. That's why they did it.
Well, maybe we should.
So I think that we need to
Should we demand, David, that they put that forward for 2 more weeks till the students come back?
And when do the students come back?
I think it's a short break.
If there's a student, I think it's just 2 weeks. If there's a student out there that knows if you guys are going to be back by the 13th, or the 6th. 6th to 13th of April, mm-hmm. I'm sure Catherine does not want to delay this, but she also has a sense of fairness, and to have this thing put into spring break is, yet again, when it comes to human rights issues, if we don't have the students able to participate in the process and able to come to be at a public hearing, then I don't think we're reflecting this town as it truly is.
And similarly, we need to have homeless people allowed at these hearings. We need a late.
Hey.
Of course, there won't be any need for a late night bus pickup, because there'll be no armory shelter after March 15th.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's interesting. Sherry Connable, the activist who tried to put forward a safe place to sleep in 1990, and then got the city council to appropriate a little money to send some homeless people out to the state parks in 1996. I understand she's calling for a sleep-in protest. Camp out at the Benchlands, the county Benchlands, which is right San Lorenzo Bridge next to the courthouse, a day or two after the armory shelter closes on March 15th.
Yeah. Well, it seems like that's what we're gonna have to do. Everybody that's had experience with these kind of struggles, including Arun Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi's grandson, has told us you have to sleep out, you have to get arrested. That's the only way these changes happen, even when you put in a progressive city council, obviously. By them not acting, they are, when we get arrested, when protesters and demonstrators get arrested, that's less homeless people that are hassled.
Mm-hmm.
If nothing else, we at least occupy the ticket quotas. We at least occupy the system. so that homeless people aren't harassed.
Well, I
can't afford it. Nothing.
Right.
But I mean, some of us can afford to get ourselves out there and put ourselves out on the line just to keep homeless people from being harassed.
Right, and even if you don't want to get out on the line, callers, and I should say audience out there, if you're interested in this issue of civil rights for the poor, I know a lot of you are.
There are.
You know, give a call to 423-HUFF or give a call to David. We can give you tasks to do which can help to start organizing.
Oh, by the way, I still have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of names that need to be looked up in the phone book, for getting people out for the 23rd. Because, you know, when we did all this creating of this list from the initiative that we did last year, most people don't have their phone numbers on their voter reg card. So we did match with the voter registration, the county voter registration. Now we have to match with the phone book.
You need phone work help. And what number should they call, David?
You can go ahead and call me.
Okay, that your number again is?
429-5284 if they really want to work on phoning, getting people to show up the 23rd. I still believe that, you know, there's still a glimmer of light, you know, in this process. This is not the same kind of changes to an ordinance that we would have seen from any other council we've had in the past. There is a difference. I mean, it's so slight that it's disgusting. But it's like a light, you know, there is a glimmer of hope here. What we need to do is we need to make that crack a little bigger. And if we can push them when they make their amendments on the 23rd to make that crack a little bigger, then let's show up in force. Let's show up in force, and that does keep us marshaled, does keep us organized. I still see a possibility that we're going to have to go back to the streets with this initiative again, because they obviously haven't got the message.
So
maybe this new task force, or whatever they're going to call it, will get the message.
So the number to call to help David get the folks out, both the city council and also to protests and other demonstrations, which may end up being more important than city council, probably will. I mean, they will be.
I'd try to call Linda so I could get the old community group sleeping bag.
Let me give the number again, David. It's 429-5284 to really offer to help David. If you got a phone, if you got an hour's worth of time or half an hour, he can put you to work. Is that so, David?
Or? Sure.
429-5284. Again, if you miss any numbers on the show, 429-5284, give a call to 423-HUFF, and there are operators standing by, or at least one. I don't know how much of an operator she is, but she can help you out. Is there anything more you want to add, David?
Oh, I just kind of wanted to make a general statement that, you know, it's really easy, you know, not easy. We can really slip when we're dealing with all this information. And you, Robert, deal with lots and lots of, you know, homeless and poor people's civil rights information. It's real easy to get terribly depressed and just to see how dark and gloomy this whole situation is. And let's try to give each other hope a little bit. And let's try to shine a little light ourselves. I know I get accused of doing that maybe a little too much, but hey, somebody else's turn. let's all just give ourselves a little hope, because change is made when you have hope. If you have no hope, then what you have is just decay. So let's use a little hope and let's put on a lot of pressure.
Well, thank you, David.
Okay.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Hi there, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hello, Robert. How you doing?
Good. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Doug calling from the Junction.
Oh, from Pizza Junction, the place where Chris Crone and Catherine Byers met their match.
That's the one.
Yeah, actually,
that was down.
Few places that I think I actually saw a real debate happening with students learning very quickly not to take a lot of shit from the city council.
Unfortunately, I had another engagement, so I missed it.
It was about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that was seemed like it'd be a good event. I just wanted to call. I heard you talking about the spring break, and it's going to be over the 26th. It might be as late as I'm not a student up there, but I am working up there. So I know it's the 19th to the 26th is the heart of it there. I think that students return the next week, the 29th or something like that.
That's good information. Anything happening on campus? I know there's a group, Students Against the Sleeping Ban, that if anybody's interested, they can call 423-HUFF and we'll give you their number.
You know, what's interesting for me is the group, I think a lot of the people around the Mumia issue are also interested in this. They see a lot of similarities.
I know that too. Tracy and Bernard are going out there interviewing merchants, trying to find out which merchants will support ending the sleeping ban and which are adamantly opposed to any change in the camping ordinance.
And there, I think they're just seeing the connections, you know, between the two issues there. And so that's I know there's an event tonight with Leonard Weinglass. It's going to be a really good event.
7 o'clock on Kresge Town Hall, UCSC.
Yeah.
Is that it requires $5 or?
I don't know, actually. I'm pretty sure being out of town and all that, it's probably going to be something like that.
Mm-hmm. Bring your wallets with you.
Yeah, I mean, there might be some hardship cases out there. But, yeah, they probably need something to cover his travel expenses or whatever.
Any other things happening in the next week or two on campus that folks concerned with civil rights for poor people should be aware of?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think. It's coming toward the end of the quarter, so there's not so much going on. I know that we've got some student films going on at the Junction this coming week. I think it's like Thursday or something. I know that last year there were some excellent films done on the beach flats development, stuff like that. And usually
we'd love to do a film series on the sleeping ban. I know that some of us have a lot of old video footage, which I think could be put together to good use.
That would be great. That would be excellent. I think that would be really good. I mean, I think we need to get creative. I think David was, get some good. Put together some good events, if we could have a little music, a little, video. I guess it doesn't hurt to, entertain and just kind of, get people inspired.
I know the library used to have a situation where you could have a display every month of a different subject. I think they've abandoned that for the moment, but I know that they're that kind of idea of having a set-up display. Maybe McHenry Library has a possibility up on campus.
I think you need to do that quite a ways in advance, but it's possible. I know that we were actually talking.
And of course, we were thinking of doing a kind of a pie cooking contest. Who could cook the best pie to present to Mike Rotkin or possibly Kevin Byers?
The baking brigade.
Yeah, I think that they need a taste of their own medicine, really.
Ooh. Instead of eating cake, huh?
I suppose I'll be accused of making threats against public officials, but I'm only trying to give them a tasteful threat, you see.
We just have pizzas over at the Junction, so I don't know how that might be a little on the messy side there.
I think they got a taste of that when they were up at your pizza Junction, as I said 2 weeks ago.
I heard it was quite a fray that broke. I know I left right after Steve Argue was making his introduction and saying something about and decidedly sleep unfriendly people, and they walked in right at that moment. This was the introduction, so it's a little chill in the air.
Well, I mean, it was interesting. They were making their usual, we're working very hard, and it's going to take a long time, and there are many, many people to convince, and students just stood up and said, come on, you were elected to do something. Why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you standing up for a principle and leading?
Yeah.
And they just, they did their usual fumble. But it seems to me, I mean, Byers walked by me on the street yesterday. I was interviewing a panhandler, which I'm hoping probably won't have time to play it today, but I said to her, Catherine, where can homeless people sleep? She smiled and patted me on the shoulder and said, hello, Robert. And I said, where can homeless people sleep? And I kept shouting it loudly after she left. And I think that should hang it should hang in the air wherever these people go.
Wow, that's
They have made the choice. Homeless people cannot sleep in Santa Cruz. That's the choice the city council has made. And until they turn around and make a different choice, they have to be reminded of it, and all their friends who they have to confront have to be aware of it. And I think it's quite appropriate to tell them about it.
Hey, that reminds me, actually, of a really good thing that's going on right now. I think you mentioned it earlier. It's been a weekly occurrence, and I think it's just going to keep going. Is the it might be different this week with the Monterey thing going on, but I know that the Art and Revolution group, Santa Cruz Art, have been doing the mock sighting.
That's right,
people.
Yesterday.
And that was real. Yeah. I saw that yesterday, and
it's usually in front of the Cafe Royale, which is at the kind of the head or the foot of the mall. I don't know what you call it, but it's near the post office.
The end, yeah.
Main post office. It happens at, every noon on noon or two?
Noon. It's noon to two, maybe a little bit beyond.
On Saturday.
And then, of course, Food Not Bombs, they're feeding down there on the end there. That's always a good you know, go over there and have a little soup afterwards.
Mm-hmm. By the way, quick pitch for Food Not Bombs. I believe they serve, is it Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays, or Wednesdays, Saturdays?
I think it's Wednesdays and Saturdays. They can always use, like, yeah, volunteers, gotcha. People out there.
So it's actually Wednesdays and Saturdays that Food Not Bombs is serving, and that's at the town clock from, I guess on Wednesday it's at 4 o'clock, and on Saturdays it's at 1 o'clock.
Yeah, I got their voicemail number.
And
people.
425-3345, I believe.
Yeah, totally. Those guys are great. I mean, it's been, you know, it's not as, I remember at one point, Skidmark was on earlier, he was involved, and it was just in like 4 days a week or something.
Food Not Bombs for those who want to help feed, and of course that there's also Feed the People, which is at 425-FEED, F-E-E-D.
Uh-huh.
They serve in front of Logos Books every Monday and Tuesday at 5, I believe it is, and every, I think they're also serving Thursday at 5. I think it's 5. Yeah, I believe so. And again, the number for Feed the People for more information is 425-325-3333, 425-FEED, and for Food Not Bombs, 425-3345. Anything else that you want to say, Doug?
Well, I was interested the whole, like, it's interesting for me being on campus to see some of the changes. I think people are, you know, like we had the discussion at the junction, and just, I know CalPERS, it's interesting, like I don't usually see too much going on with CalPERS. It's not a statewide issue, it seems like lobbying kind of far off, but I think they're doing a really good job, I think, on this issue. They're putting forth the sleeping ban to a national, or to a statewide level. To see about, and they're particularly, I guess, looking at our camping ban to see about getting a response on a statewide, you know, like, and they're also, I think, they're pretty well organized. I think they're like a lot of student interns are in that group, and I see a lot of good, you know, I've seen them at the, you know, city council. They came and they helped organize a petition thing that was going on for a while. I don't know the status of that, but it was to fill out these cards. And I think, you know, the campus is a vulnerable spot. I know Mike Ratkin is there, so is Fitzmaurice. You know, they definitely, there's an image, you know, of Mike on campus that it has been there, you know, that he's very progressive. And I know, like, I worked with Mike, and he's got some good issues, but I just, you know, by and large, like a lot of, especially around the homeless issues, just, you know, it's horrible. His whole stance on that, I think, is not good. Although I do have to say, I think Santa Cruz, it's weird. I think Santa Cruz is, in a lot of ways, like, pretty, like, they spend money, you know, in a certain sense. Like, I was looking over the figures, how much money is being spent. But it's really, as far as allowing,
basic civil rights.
Yeah, it allows people the freedom to do that, I think, yeah. I mean, I think they could
There's a big controversy about the amount of money spent. I know Celia Scott effectively challenged Rutkin's claims on that 2 years ago. Yeah, she claimed, you know, Rutkin had this, oh, we spend more than any other city per capita. No, that actually she showed that it was, that the city itself actually was low on the list. If you add all the federal and state and incoming funds, it was different, but the city itself spends very little on the homeless compared to what other cities spend.
Yeah, the figures were based on, like, just different organizations in the community estimated how much they'd spent on the homeless, and I'm not sure where exactly that funding, now you mentioned, like, where that funding comes from. It seemed like, you know, a fair amount, but I'm not sure, you know, what, like, where exactly, like you said, like, that funding is coming from. I think the resource center is pretty good, you know, it's a pretty good thing, but some ways I think the money is also getting, you know, it's...
Well, I know you wrote a lot about Rutkin yourself. You done papers on him and the homeless, I guess. But let me kind of cut this short.
Okay, sure,
we
have
an avalanche of phone calls.
Okay, alrighty. Well, you hang in there.
Hey, and come on down to the protest at 2 if you can. If you can't, stay in touch. You know, we really appreciate your serving pizza. But again, I think a tofu pie would be good too. You know, for those city council members who are very discriminating, so to speak.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, I'll see you.
Summers, when I was a kid, we'd run to the schoolyard, and here's what we did. We'd pick out the captains, and we'd choose up the teams. It was always a measure of my self-esteem. stop and twist. Last ones they picked were the worst. Well, I never needed to ask. It was sealed. I just took up my place in right field. Play right field. It's easy, you know. You can be awkward. You can be slow.
That's what
I'm here in right field. Watching the dandelions grow. Playing right field can be lonely and dull. Little leagues never have lefties that pull. A dream of the day, they hit one my way. They never did, but still I would pray. I'd make a fantastic catch on the run, and not lose the ball in the sun. And then I'd awake from this long reverie and pray that the ball never came out to me. Here in right field, easy, you know. You can be awkward, you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow. Strikes on the batter, some runners are on. I don't know the inning, I've forgotten the score. The whole team is yelling and I don't know what for. Then suddenly everyone's looking at me. My mind has been wandering, what could it be? They point to the sky and I look up above and the baseball falls into my glove. Here in right field, it's important to know. You gotta know how to catch, you gotta know how to throw. That's why I'm here in right field, watching the dandelions grow.
That's Right Field, Peter, Paul, and Mary, one of my favorites. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 427-3772. We have about half an hour left on this twice-weekly civil rights show. I got, speaking of civil rights, three letters from Police Chief Steve Belcher yesterday. They concerned complaints I'd made about police misconduct, and I wanted to kind of talk about them briefly, since the police misconduct I spoke of, we've talked about on the air. One of them had to do with Steve Argue. Steve Argue is an activist who you can meet in person, probably be down at the 2 o'clock protest in front of New Leaf if you want to come down to that one. That's today. He was rather violently arrested for selling newspapers, Street Spirit, at the very spot where we're going to be doing our protest today, the New Leaf Market, in front of New Leaf Market, and that was about 3 months ago or so, November, I believe. He was held in jail for 3 days on felony charges, $5,000 bail, and finally he was released without explanation, without apology, and without charges 3 days later on Monday. Completely preposterous situation. When I attempted to do the same thing, when I did the same thing he did, sell a newspaper supposedly without a license, which was the basis on which Officer Garner arrested him, I said, "Officer Garner, I'm doing exactly the same thing." This was 2 hours later. "Arrest me, please." He refused. And this is the letter I got back. I filed several complaints on Argue's behalf with the Citizens Police Review Board. And they went, of course, to the police department. That's where they go first, and then they come out and they go to the police review board. Steve himself has not filed complaints because I believe he's pursuing the matter in a more serious manner through the courts and through an attorney, and I hope he really is successful because this one is pretty straightforward, cut and dried. Slice up the First Amendment and force feed it to the people. Make them eat their own words, make them eat their own rights. It was really a clear attack by Officer Garner. He, in the simple words, fucked up. But I filed a complaint about it briefly, simply to get it on record. And I got this rather lengthy letter dated March 2nd from Chief Belcher. And my first thought was, this is very impressive because Belcher doesn't usually write me letters. He actually did write a letter when his department went after another person for selling the homeless newspaper Street Spirit improperly in violation of city code, in violation of the U.S. Constitution, in violation of the state constitution, in violation of the U.N. Declaration of Human Rights, in violation, in other words. But since it was a homeless or poor person involved, you know, who cares? But obviously, when it was brought to his attention and he had to face it, he apologized, and he did so relatively quickly. I went through Mayor Celia Scott at that time, last fall. And since that time, after several more harassments, there hasn't, the assault on Argue by Garner, there have been no further instances I've heard of people being harassed for selling Street Spirit, which, by the way, the new issue will appear probably on Wednesday on your local, on a street corner from a homeless person near you. Give them a buck. Generally, I don't get letters from Steve Belcher. So here, when I got three letters pretty much in one day, I think two came in one day, one the next, or vice versa. Here's the letter that he wrote to me about Steve Argue. Dear Mr. Norris, the investigation into your complaint filed with the Santa Cruz Police Department has been concluded. In reading the reports and reviewing the information contained in the investigation, I find that your complaint is born from a contact between an officer and a person on whose behalf you filed the complaint. The contact occurred on November 13th, 1998, in the downtown beat. There's a caller calling in. I'm going to quickly take that call, and then we'll continue reading this.
Hi there. You're on free radio.
Hi. No, I didn't want to be on the air.
Ooh, let's call me back on the...
Well, I guess I can say on the air. So is there going to be a rally at 2 o'clock today?
Sure, there is. It's for those of you who are listening, and I've been saying again, it's the New Leaf Market, 2 o'clock, and bring signs, bring yourself, bring a friend.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Again, continuing this letter from Chief Belcher regarding the Steve Argue sell a newspaper, go to jail case. Belcher writes, this contact occurred on November 13th in the downtown beat. The officer had observed this person blocking the paths of other pedestrians and restricting their freedom of movement on the sidewalk. He was doing so by holding newspapers in their face. During the investigation, information was gathered indicating that the pedestrians had to change their direction of travel and walk around this person to avoid his impediment to the route. The officer observed these actions and subsequently contacted the person. I'm going to pause here briefly and explain that at no time, until I received this letter, had anyone been told that the charge was obstructing the sidewalk. The charge was selling a newspaper without a license. The charge was resisting arrest, and the charge was some sort of felony, either battery on an officer or terrorist threats. We were never sure which, but they were all charges that had nothing to do until this moment, March 2nd, the date of his letter, with obstructing the sidewalk. So it looks like Chief Belcher, instead of apologizing for misconduct because he doesn't want the city and his department to be liable, is constructing a story. That's my offhand reaction. I could be wrong. Maybe Steve was obstructing the sidewalk. We can talk to him about that down at the protest at 2 if you want to come on down. The officer contacted this person and confirmed he was selling the newspapers. The person was also under the impression that he had a legal right to sell the newspapers based on a prior letter generated from my office. In this instance, however, the officer was contacting the person for obstructing the sidewalk. Again, the first we've heard of that. Witnesses independent of the police department stated they observed the person selling the papers, failing to identify himself to the police officer, swearing at the police officer, and poking his finger in the face of the officer in an assaultive manner. Interesting description of events which describes the fact that the officer had a dialogue, according to Steve Argue and several witnesses that I talked to with Officer Garner. They had a dialogue which essentially went like this. You can't sell a paper here without a license. I don't need a license to sell a paper. I'm going to write you a ticket. You can't write me a ticket for that. There's a First Amendment in this country. Leave me alone. And then, in essence, he was taken to the ground after a little more discussion. So it had nothing to do with obstructing the sidewalk. Those words never appeared in any discussion. This is a complete cover-up job. This conduct threatened the officer who attempted to take this person selling newspapers into custody. The person then vigorously resisted the verbal and physical attempts of the officer to handcuff him. The officer had to call for the assistance of a second officer to control and arrest the person selling newspapers. Now the point here is, if there really were such a charge, why wasn't it charged? Why is there no obstructing the sidewalk charge that was filed in the last 4 months? Who knows? Well, obviously, because this is a constructed thing. Now maybe we'll see a charge filed in the days ahead. In the previous incident for which a letter was generated from my office, the person was standing on the sidewalk holding up newspapers for sale. That person was not blocking the movement of pedestrians or obstructing their vision by thrusting newspapers in their face. The citation that was issued to that person was subsequently dismissed and a letter of apology sent because the officer in that incident was unaware of Municipal Code Section 5.42.030, which has an exception for that specific activity. Well, in fact, the officer in the Steve Argue case, Officer Garner, when I confronted him 2 hours after the incident, was also unaware of that code section, but claimed and pointed it out to me that that was the reason that he had issued the citation. It wasn't for obstructing the sidewalk. Those words never appeared. He said it was for selling a newspaper, and he pointed to that section, and we have a picture, a video of Officer Garner pointing to that section. And I think he didn't want to talk about it on tape. He may have actually mentioned it. We played a bit of that tape on free radio. He fucked up. And that can happen when an officer is pursuing an individual in a personal thing, because that's what seemed to be the case. That was what I pieced together from it. I could be wrong. Perhaps Officer Garner was simply feeling his oats, didn't like the guy selling the paper in that particular place. Who knows? But the real criminal behavior here and the real matter of concern that I see is a chief of police of a police department not acknowledging responsibility, not apologizing to the community and to the individual who was roughed up and falsely imprisoned under these circumstances, and instead concocting a cover story. This is disgraceful. This is not forgivable. This is something that you want a new police chief for. Now, you know, it's often been said it's a radical position to fire the police chief. Well, this letter indicates to me that our chief is either incompetent or he is suborning an injustice here. He is engaging in the process of lying to the public in order to protect the reputation of his department and to protect the department against damages. Do we want to tolerate that in Santa Cruz? I hope not. I hope our city council members know about this. I hope you call the city council at 420-5020, push the one key, and demand that Chief Belcher be replaced. Now, it's not the council that, actually the council can do that. It can do that by, it can direct the city manager to fire the police chief. And if the city manager doesn't want to do it, then they can fire the city manager. It's time we get some action on these issues, folks. It's time that the First Amendment applied to everybody, and more important, if there's a violation of the First Amendment because a police officer is acting inappropriately, that there be some real chain of command that that responds to this issue. I'm sorry, I keep interrupting my reading of this letter because I feel so hot about it. But anyway, I continue with reading Chief Belcher's letter. In the previous incident for which a letter was generated from this office, the person was standing on the sidewalk holding up newspapers for sale. That person was not blocking the movement of pedestrians or obstructing their vision by thrusting newspapers in their face. The citation that was issued to that person was subsequently dismissed. I've read this before, and a letter of apology sent because the officer in that incident was unaware of the Municipal Code Section 5.42.030, which has an exception for that specific activity. In this incident, the person selling newspapers was not acting in a reasonable manner based on statements by independent witnesses that he was blocking their path on the sidewalk, on a heavily traveled commercial area, and he was blocking their vision by holding newspapers in front of their face so they could not see where they were walking. A simple display or selling of papers would be legal. What Steve Argue was doing, I can't say, because I wasn't there at that particular moment, but I have observed him selling street spirit at that place many a time. He does nothing more than what I do, which is offer flyers and newspapers to passers-by. I offer flyers free, usually. He was offering them for sale. And this is, I would call this highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. We spoke to the city attorney, this is again another reading from Chief Belcher's letter. We spoke to the city attorney regarding the reason for the initial contact. Once we determined that there would be no criminal filing action, action was immediately taken to have the person released from county jail. I should point out that the opinion of the city attorney and our district attorney's office may or may not be the same as those found by a judge given the totality of the circumstance. I believe the officer was performing his duties according to what he thought to be a violation of the municipal code. As a result of all the evidence in this matter, I have concluded that the disposition of exonerated is appropriate. Steve Belcher. And of course, unanimously, our Citizens Police Review Board, as it did in 17 other cases, which are referred to in this current agenda of the Citizens Police Review Board, the last 17 cases, they have found essentially no complaints sustained against the police officer. 17 out of 17 for Belcher's department, including this egregious injustice. I think the facts here, pretty much to me, speak for themselves. Obviously, you listeners out there who haven't seen the particulars around this case, who haven't really reviewed the facts, you know what I'm saying to you over the radio. But if you had a problem with the police department, if you've found yourself treated in an inappropriate manner, please, please give a call to SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, or HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. The SPAN number is 475-2012. I think that's right, or is it? Let's see. And the HUF number, try the HUF number actually. The SPAN number, I reverse the digits sometimes. Try the HUF number, it's 423-4833, and I will put you in touch with SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, 475-2102. I'm not quite sure of the number. So, again, if you want to come down and protest this egregious behavior, not just by the police department, but by the Citizens Police Review Board. Your folks are supposed to be controlling these clowns. 5:30 tomorrow, CPRB. Tar and feathers is perhaps a little too extreme. Tofu pies might be an option. I wouldn't want to encourage you to assault public officials, but certainly assault them with the truth. That's for sure a great idea.
Comedy.
Let's take a brief musical break. Here's a song about a man who really got the shaft. He got some hot lead from the police department, and then he got some cold crap from the CPRB.
Happy John Dine was a friend of mine, lived here by the sea. Down on the streets of Santa Cruz, he always laughed at me. Happy and I went to church one night, thank God, and ate our fill. Asked him if he had any money, give me a fake dollar bill. Where's Happy? He's gone away. And it's hard for me to be happy, Happy's in a grave. Oh, where's Happy? Shot down today. And it's yes, the police are happy, sadness is here to stay. Happy was as harmless as a butterfly, loved everyone he met. He never left the 60s, didn't really care for the internet. One day he was grooving to some tunes, doing the happy bop, when a bullet entered his chest, came from a Santa Cruz cop. Where is Happy? Shot down today. And it's hard for me to be happy, Happy's in a grave. Oh, where is Happy? He's gone away. And again, Yes, the police are happy. Sadness here to stay. The people like happy, I do believe. Heaven is great, great spirits. You know, like whatever you got here, less of, you got more there. Could happen. So I think he's up there. I think he's looking down. And he's probably saying, hey man, right on. I know you. Power to the people. Where is happy? It's gone away. It's hard for me to be happy. Happy's in a grave. Where is happy? Shot down today. And I guess the police are happy. Sadness is here to say, yeah, I guess the police are happy. Sadness is here to say.
And that was Randy Hales' Happy John Dine, the Ballad of Happy John Dine. You're tuned to the last minutes of Bathrop Spears Broadsides, 96.3 FM, Free Radio Santa Cruz. I'm your host, Bathrop Spear Robert Norse. A couple of quick announcements here. For Laura Tucker and those interested in what's going on down in Monterey with the Marine invasion of Monterey, Club Cruise on Channel 71 Thursday at 7 p.m. is going to have Peter Lumsdaine of the Resource Center for Nonviolence and Brian Wilson of Veterans for Peace talking. Actually, it's Tuesday at 7 and rebroadcast Thursday at 7. So that's 2 days, Tuesday and Thursday, 7 p.m., Channel 71 for Club Cruise. I guess you can bring your portable TV with you to City Council, because there's also a City Council meeting on Tuesday at 7 that I encourage you to go to. It's not going to be the one where they're talking about the sleeping ban on the agenda, but there is oral communications. We need people to tell these clowns to get off their duffs and make some real significant changes before the real City Council meeting issue comes up on March 23rd. Although, again, there is some hope. I don't know if it's a hope. There's a strategy proposed to postpone it. So, Club Cruise, Channel 71, Tuesday and Thursday at 7. You can hear about the Marine invasion of Monterey being debated by some of our local peaceniks, Peter Lumsdaine. When's old Peter going to come out and end the sleeping ban? Come on, Peter, you can do it. Stand up and speak out on that issue, too. And Brian Wilson of Veterans for Peace. Lots of veterans out there, Brian. I don't know, has Brian spoken out about the sleeping ban? I'm not sure.
After reading it thoroughly.
My producer tells me that Brian Wilson has endorsed the initiative to repeal the sleeping ban last year, which, of course, actually does something about repealing the sleeping ban, unlike the current city council, which plays around with things like lowering the fine from $162 to $54 and so forth. And so that's good news. The following week, Club Cruise is going to present a show on the city council and the sleeping ban with host Becky Johnson, who's also my producer, and guests David Silva and Chris Get It Together Crone, who is, one of the newest city council members, the only one I've got to put in a plug for him to call the show. He actually was on this show here, Free Radio Santa Cruz, so this Bathrop Spears Broadside show that you're listening to right now. He called on Thursday, when we had a show from 6 to 8, and as I said, I wished I'd given him more iron in the side, so to speak, because I'm afraid that what politicians need to hear is not that they're doing a good job. Well, they do need to hear it when they are doing a good job, but when they're not, they need to really be told about it in no uncertain terms. And the number to call to make sure they hear about it today is 420-5020. Push the one key. If you've called them before, well, I hate to tell you this, but you pick it up, call them again, say, I'm sorry, it ain't happening, make it happen. It's time for Santa Cruz to get past this sleeping ban issue. It is taking entirely too much time, and it's going to be bogging us down for the rest of the year. For those of us who aren't outside, for those of us who are outside, it's going to be making us unsafe. It's going to be putting troll busters or people who assault homeless people in a position of privilege. They can run around and commit hate crimes against the homeless, and the homeless people are going to be afraid to report those crimes to the police. Women will be afraid to sleep in safe places. They'll be running from warrants, because those warrants are showing up in massive numbers in the courts. Half the sleeping ban tickets go to warrants. So, 420 5020. Push the 1 key. And while you're at it, call the Sentinel 423-4242 and cancel your subscription. They don't seem to think that a crime against a homeless person has the same importance or weight or seriousness that a crime, let's say, against a gay person or against a woman has, or against a privileged white male, because you don't see in the Sentinel any reports about the homeless people kicked in the teeth, the homeless people with stitches in their heads, the homeless people with broken ribs, kicked for sleeping. That's been happening, folks.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, there's lots of gay people that are beaten up and lots of gay people that are disappeared, lots of gay people that are buried in these mountains that never get reported, and their families know about it and their friends know about it. It's a class issue. Usually it's a class issue.
So the rich gay folks get the word, but the gay ones, the poor gay ones don't.
Well, it seems to work out that way, you know, but there's a lot of rich gay folks missing too. I would say that the gays get pretty hard. I know the homeless are in the most vulnerable position, so it's easy to hit them hard with the kind of laws we have. But, you know, it's a class issue.
I just know it's a scandal in Sonoma when a high school kid is beaten up for his sexual orientation, and yet we see nothing about people
yeah,
getting beaten
well,
up.
Well, we got that story, but, you know, there have been like 3 murders up there that weren't reported at all. Hate crime murders weren't even considered hate crimes.
No, that's
you know,
true.
I just think, you know, we got to be careful not to divide us. It's, you know, homeless people are a protected class and should be considered a hate crime, I think, you know, when they are attacked for being what they are.
That's right.
They are a protected class in most places, and I think those cops grants that are coming down here ought to be stopped until we get that cleared up. Bye.
Thanks, caller.
Well, can't disagree with the caller there, and I think it's the Sentinel that needs to be roasted on this one. Of course, there's nothing new about that one. Interestingly enough, regarding the Girl Scout